Blog Talk Radio.
Molly, you in danger, girl.
All right, girl. This library is now open.
Tell the team, catch the shade, clock the look, sharpen the blade. Keep it real, don't hold back. Tell it like it is, let it grow.
It's Marco, and welcome to another edition of the Keeping It Real Cap. Tonight, we are going to recap episode 3 from season 7 of RuPaul's Drag Race. But right now, I would like to introduce a very special guest of mine, Texas 3X's. We are going to be talking about his music tonight, and I would like to give you guys a little treat and play one of his songs right now called Do That.
Tired of bullshit. Smoke it.
In my lungs, that's death a pound a week. 3X in this rap shit, my mom to me. Flex hard cause no one can test me. Respect me or get marked up like a Scantron. Say super like I grew up on Krypton. Bad bitch, bikini, and Louboutin. With fresh tips, sweet lips, and thick hips. Ass whipped by this dick, Django. Kill that shit, crowned it with a halo. Only smoke that fat shit, you know sumo. Call the dealer, just so I can get some more. You know the boy, always say fuego. In my own shit, never in the rental. Floating off the soul, steady sipping Pepto. I'm a problem, always on some villain shit. No once I does mean nigga I'll run shit. Boy.
Do that. Let's do that right now. Steven, are you on?
Let's do that.
Yeah, I'm. What's good? I'm here.
Hey, Steven.
Three X's. How's it going?
What's good, Galloway?
What's popping, yo?
Chilling. Shit, just came from the gym, so just chilling right now on this podcast.
Yes. Push through. Can I just say, like, you just reminded me of, like, my high school years. I call me my last name. Because I remember in school, there was, like, so many different Marcuses. So we all was called by our last names. And when you called me that, it's just like, did I go to school with him?
Nah, just something, I mean, just from basketball and all that stuff I used to play. So I just be, it's just last name is just the way to call somebody. You know what I mean? So, yeah.
Oh, that's
You're
cool.
Getting ready for Chicago, aren't you?
Yeah, a little bit. I just came from hooping just now. So trying to get it in, trying to get the gut off me. You know what I mean?
Yep. Put in work.
Got to put in that work. You know what I'm saying? But what's going on with y'all? How y'all doing, man?
I'm good.
I'm pretty good.
You good?
I mean, I'm always good, you know. Turn up. I'm drinking.
Shit, I need to get my blunt ready. Shit, I need to have them before I got on the show. Shit.
Push through, 420.
Shit, need to be.
So our podcast, it's really laid back. We're gonna get into some really good tea tonight. We're gonna see how ready you are with some of these questions.
Oh shit. Okay.
So we're just basically it's a fun time, and we want our listeners to get better acquainted with you and your music and. You know, we just have a little kiki, that's all.
That's it, do a little kiki.
I'm down.
So let's get this show on the road. First question, it's not really a question, it's like, well, I guess it is a question. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself and, you know, to our listeners who you are and so they can understand why you're important?
Why am I important? I feel like I represent a new age in music. that's about to come out. I mean, for myself, there are a lot of gay artists that are out there right now, but I feel like a lot of gay artists are doing the same thing, talking about the same thing, and I'm going to be coming from an androgynistic standpoint, not so much as like Frank Ocean or anything, but I'm just trying to deliver every side of the story, not before I became who I am, meaning my real self and not the one that was in the closet and had to fake it and front it and all that, fucking girls just to get by, you know what I'm saying? And I feel like I'm going to represent Texas, I'm going to represent myself, and I'm going to represent music in general, you know what I'm saying, and come with it on every single level, you know what I mean? And I'm a regular dude, you know what I mean? I play ball, you know what I mean? Shit, I smoke a blunt almost every day. If I can, but I'm trying to stop, you know what I'm saying? Don't condone. But I do if you smoke it with me, you know what I'm saying? I'm just chill, and it's just trying to represent hip-hop and just music in general.
All right. I live the new movement of Homo Hub. You know, we here, goddamn.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I'm just saying, I just feel like for myself, like on the same subject, I just feel like I just want to bring it. And I mean, my music is going to represent like the struggle, the fun, for the youngsters, for the old school, new school, all of this. All like, I want to hit every single angle. I'm versatile with all this shit, and that's what I want to bring to it. I'm not just about to sit over here and be rapping about a hook and just smoking in the club. I'm about to hit all of that shit. So that's what my
That's what's up. And I think that's not even just in gay rap, but I think a lot of music is just so one-dimensional now. So to hear like you and guys like Will and Publicity, it's like it is kind of empowering for the community. Like, look, I am gay, but I have bars, and I'm not going to be about, oh, you know, I have, you know, I'm fucking every night and drinking alcohol every night, too. It's just because there is so much more to life than that. I mean, that stuff's great. But to hear you guys and, like, this movement that's going on, like, it's awesome. Knowing you guys.
I remember the first time Marco had put me on the fucking Texas Triple X. And I was like, I remember we had a conversation. I was like, this is what hip hop needs. I'm like, because, like you said, Homo Hop is so saturated with what people would expect from a gay rapper. You know what I'm saying?
Throw that boy pussy, and, you know, it's just kind of like, I think, like a song like that, that's what straight people will stereotypically think of Homo Hop. Like, oh, it's going to be all about, you know, fucking and...
But, I mean,
know.
That's the, like, that whole thing right there is, like, for me, I just feel like, I mean, what's to say? I just think that is just, everybody's going to get a bad name and a bad rap from that, because that got a lot of views just because of people thought it was a joke. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
People thought that was bullshit. I mean, let me not say put that on him as far as that's his only music, because he does have, I know the dude, he has other music out there that's not just that, but that is what everybody's going to see and everybody's going to laugh at.
Yeah,
that's
myself,
true.
I mean, I ain't just been with dudes, you know what I'm saying? I've had girls in my past too, you know what I mean?
Okay.
I ain't like the biggest player in the world, you know what I'm saying? But it's just like, I'm not.
But you crush a lot.
If you know what I'm talking about. But I'm just saying, it's like, I can talk about that past life too, because I've lived that life. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm not just sitting over and talking about all that. Actually, I don't even like talking about it in general. That's all I just like to say. I like to come from an androgynistic standpoint, because in hip hop, now we get typecast regardless. I don't care what, I don't give a fuck what nobody say. If you dope, you dope. But if you dope and gay, they still going to look at you as some motherfucker gay. He ain't trying to sit over here. I ain't about to sit up and put this motherfucker on no record. You know what I mean? Do it like that. That's why I'm like, for me, not to say it's safe, but I mean, and to just be myself, come from an androgynistic standpoint so I can hit every single angle and not just worry about somebody thinking I'm about to sit up and talk about fucking a boy in the butt or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Bullshit like that. Because we all out here, we intelligent. We all sit over here and got bars, all of us. publicity, all of us. You know what I'm saying? We all sit over here.
Yeah.
We can represent hip hop well or not. And I don't fuck gay hip hop. Hip hop is hip hop. You know, gay and all that shit. It don't need no label. If you spitting, that's hip hop. I don't give a fuck what nobody say.
Yeah.
You know, I'm glad you said that because I've always had, like, I kind of accepted the fact that people will label me as homo hop. Because I haven't been able to beat it. You know what I'm saying? It feels like Hobson, he's one of my top five rappers. And when Hobson first came out, they labeled him horrorcore. And he was like, I'm
who?
Not horrorcore. Hobson.
Who? Who?
Oh, y'all heard of Hobson? Hobson?
No. You said Hobson, right?
Yeah, Hobson.
Yeah, of course.
I remember when he first dropped, it was like, labeled him horrorcore. And he was like, yo, I'm a hip-hop artist. Like, don't place me in a box. And I feel the same way, but, you know, it's hard for us to break that mold because as soon as someone hears gay rapper, they associate us with homo hop and queer hop. And to be honest with you, if you listen to a lot of artists who label themselves homo hop and queer hop, they're not really hip hop. You know what I'm saying? I tweeted about this the other day. I'm like, can y'all stop calling yourselves hip hop artists? You guys are techno rage artists, like.
Or something, but like I mean, in general, like even on that, I'm saying on that note, you know what I mean? It's like music is music, you know what I'm saying? However these people gonna put their art out, they gonna put their art out. If they sitting over here and they sort of believe in what they putting out, let them do that. I mean, I don't even, you know what I'm saying, label anything. My music is music, you know what I mean? I just want
exactly.
If motherfuckers gonna like it, they gonna like it. If they ain't gonna like it, they ain't gonna like it, and they keep it moving.
Of course, I feel like
go ahead, I'm bad.
I'm about to say, I just feel like their label is the way that they're using it to exclude us from hip hop. Like, oh, he's not hip hop, he's homo hop. And I don't agree with that.
And it's hard,
yeah.
Like, and I feel like I feel like sometimes, like, if I put myself out there and the type of person that I am in general, I mean, I don't know what people are going to assume about me in general, but necessarily now, even being on the show is a big step for me in my life. In general, because I never even thought I'd even be able to get to this point, but like not give a fucking like, oh, this is me, I'm gay, do it like that, because I'm like, I'm still not even out to my father, you know what I mean? And for me on doing this show, you know what I mean? It's a big step in my life in general, and me talking about this topic is big, but I'm on a I don't give a fuck tour in my life, you know what I'm talking about?
Do that,
so,
yeah.
So like exactly do that. So like, but it's. It's just one of those things for me in my life. So, like, when it comes down to hip hop and being gay, I put my music first. I'm an artist that so happens to be gay. So if you listen to me, listen to my words. Don't listen to what I'm doing in my bedroom, unless I like you.
Yeah.
Well.
All right. So, how long exactly have you been rapping?
To be honest with you. I was rooming with my bro Will Sheridan, you know what I'm saying?
Shout out to Will.
Shout out to Will Sheridan, hashtag giant. I was rooming with him. I was going through some stuff in my life and I ended up moving in with him. And I knew he did music, but I didn't know how serious he had took it at the time. But then I saw that he was going in. I'm sorry, I'm a person that likes to build up stories.
it's all good. No, build it up. Build it all up.
So we were smoked. I was smoking, but I really didn't smoke that much until I moved there with him. He got me. So I blame him for my lungs, and I blame him for my weight gain. So, but now we, you know, Munchies is a motherfucker. But so we were smoking one day, and I remember back in the day, I used to just freestyle and bullshit all the time because I started loving R&B first. I've always been a big R&B head, like, my whole life.
Yeah.
And I love rap, too, because I always love rap, but it's like we've all been used to the down south and Texas, like, Texas rappers, like Zero and Trader Truth and Charlie Boy and Doro and DSR and all that. That whole genre of hip-hop is completely different than the whole rest of the world and what they think of Cedric and Cali. And y'all know a lot about that stuff because we got y'all doing the Dougie and all that type of shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, like, so anyway, sorry about that. I ended up rooming with him, and I used to freestyle all the time. And Will and them was in the room one day with a whole bunch of people, and they was freestyling. And I was like, y'all are killing me with how y'all freestyle. I like, I literally laughed, so this is not what y'all doing. Like, and they was like, you jump in if you so live. I'm like, all right. So I hit the blunt, and I just went off. So I went off that time just freestyling. And they was like, oh, shit, you should get on. So I'm like, all right, whatever, shut that shit up. So then after that, then it was me and Will by ourselves at the crib. And because he had heard me freestyle before when I'm in the shower and shit. And the next thing you know, we were at the house. We went out, came back. I was a little bit wasted, and I hit up at the blunt again. Then he had put the phone in front of me, and he had played a beat. And I just went off the top and went crazy. I went crazy on that shit. He recorded it. But Mr. Will, he loved to lose his phone, so we can't hear that right now. But and then after that, I hooked up with one of his producers, and I just started doing it. So it's been about maybe a year and a half. I've just been getting into it and just trying to figure out my sound.
Okay,
that's what's up.
You know what? I'm glad that you mentioned like some of the artists coming out of Texas. I remember back in high school, they influenced a lot of music coming out of where I'm from, to Alabama, in the South in general, period.
Yeah,
and it kind of segues into my next question. I was going to ask you, growing up in Texas, how much of an influence was the local rap scene on your music today?
Oh my God, like, bruh, like I used to idolize Zero and Slim Thug and also Outlaws and all of Paul Wall, Chamillionaire, all of them. I used to love listening to them, but at the same time, I always used to love listening to Twista and Kanye and Tupac, Biggie, all of that. And all that, I used to influence all that good stuff. But, like, in Texas, like, Simplicity and stuff that we talk about was big, you know what I mean? And all that stuff used to influence me a lot, and I used to love that. But I feel like the reason why I was so big on R&B is because a lot of Texas hip-hop infused a lot of R&B into hip-hop in general. And I remember because if you sit over here and I would listen to Lauryn Hill and then listen to Zero, and Zero would be sitting over here singing his ass off and then rapping at the same time about his struggles and shit. And I used to be like, damn, I don't know what the hell that mean, but I'm down with the struggle too. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, but it's just like, it was a really, really big influence on me and now, and like how, and what type of music I'm going to put forward. Like, I want my music being a mix between neo-soul, hip-hop, and actually EDM and rock. Because between all of that, I remember one of my favorite records when I was younger, and shit, even still to this day, it was Stained, It's Been a While, and Papa Roach, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? When they was big, and I like to want to influence all that shit. Because at the end of the day, if you listen to Papa Roach, if you listen to Limp Bizkit, if you listen to all these motherfuckers, they've got a rap influence behind that shit. So
yeah, definitely.
That's
true too.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what short-term, long-term goals do you have for yourself as far as your music goes?
Me being as I just got into the music and all that stuff, you know what I mean? My long-term goal is to just make it, let my music be known, you know what I mean, and let an artist of like myself make it, you know what I mean. I want to take it the long haul, you know what I mean. I don't want to quit on it because I love music in general, no matter where it takes me. I'll be doing it if I don't make no money with it, to be honest with you, because it is a hobby of mine, and not just a hobby. I love it, and I want it to be something that's lucrative in my life, you know.
Yeah.
And I feel like with my stance on music and where I'm coming from and stuff, I feel like I can do that and represent our community well and represent hip hop well. I'm not about to be sitting over here and just be I just don't feel like I'm the stereotypical gay, I'm gonna let everybody know what else is like out there. So yeah, I'm in it for the long haul, man, and I hope y'all ready for it.
I'm ready. You just had a live performance too, right? Or you have one coming up?
I just recently performed. I'm usually performing at Metropolitan, and I performed at Rock Bar in New York City. It's 185 Christopher Street, if you didn't know. I performed there. I'm about to, once as soon as I finish up my mixtape and stuff, I'm going to get right back in the studio. I just moved into this big-ass looking apartment, and I've been trying to get my life set away so I can get myself back in the studio so I can let everybody know what's really popping with my music and stuff. I'm going to have in the next couple of months, I'm going to have 3 mixtapes coming out. I'm going to have, I'm going to have one with some remixes from Hudson Mohawk and that I want to do because I just think they're killing the scene right now. Some stuff from my producer, Davey, and just some remixes of my favorite tracks of this past year. And I hope everybody's going to break
nice.
That.
Nice, so it's going to be kind of like a Jackin' for Beats mixtape.
Yes, sir. I'm going to be ready for God damn it, this blunt keep going out. I'm sorry.
You good?
I'm good.
That's what's up, so.
Yeah.
So you got a lot of shit coming through. Push through.
Yeah, I'm just trying to, like, because I'm just, for myself, I'm just trying to just go and just get into it. And because right now I'm in the stage of trying to figure out my sound. But what I have put out there, people love, but at the same time, it's like I'm a perfectionist with the type of how I am, and I want to put out a certain type of quality material.
Yeah. I know Big Girl Workout, we'll play that after these questions for our listeners. But that right there, that's my favorite track from Texas 3X's for sure.
Oh yeah. No, that's
my jam. That's actually the first song I've heard from you was Big Girl Workout.
But that's what's up.
And as a matter of fact, I remember Martin was making like a promo video for Big Girl Workout at one point in time.
That was
an SFGBA mixtape idea that I had that the board was like, I don't know that we want to do a mixtape. And it was just going to be like, you know, on SoundCloud for free. And it had a cute name. It was going to be Legends of the Fall. But, you know, like when you help in an organization, you can't always go renegade and just do shit and then ask for forgiveness after you do it. Because then people are going to be like, well, maybe we don't want this guy helping us out. So for the most part, I do kind of just ride my own wave. And then afterwards, I'm like, oh, yeah, I did this, and it's already done.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't always do that. So
I understand, trust.
So what is your creative process for writing songs?
Oh, my God. I go through the ringer. Like if you could, like, you know, the new Snickers commercial, you know what I mean? That's kind of, like, how I am. Like, you know what I'm saying? Snap out of it. Get a Snickers. But get ready to write songs, I just listen to music and then the type of music that I want to just, the type of sound I want to have. Or for myself, so I can just get it in my head. And usually, I would just literally look at my phone and act like I'm writing, and just go off the top of my head, so I could like thinking that I'm writing or something, or just freestyle, just depending on what's going on. Like for the longest time, the other song that I have, Beat It Up, I had the beat for a minute, like, and I would just hear it and just listen to it all the time, and I'm like, I don't like writing stuff down necessarily because sometimes I feel like it takes away the creative thinking or something for me at least. And so I ended up just one day I was taking a train from my partner's house back to the city, and it's like a 45-minute ride, and I wrote the whole thing in my head.
Damn.
Just right there. I wrote the whole thing in my head just there, and like came up with the hook stuff and all of that, and then and then when I got my producer, he tweaked some stuff with it, and went from there. Because I wrote the whole, I'm like, as soon as I got it in my head, bam, banged it out, and then wrote it down so I could make sure that I can, so I can be set in stone of what I was doing. And some songs are just depending on the beat. It's like I got to get real deep with stuff, and I end up writing like a million versions of a record sometimes. Like I have a record I'm working on now, and I have literally like 13 different versions of it in my phone.
You can pick the best one, right?
Yeah, but then like, but at the same time, it's like not even necessarily just pick the best one. They just want to just feel right, you know what I mean? They just flow right.
Yeah.
Sometimes I hear like rappers and I'm like, what the fuck were you thinking putting that shit out? You know what I mean? Like, I'm just saying, sorry, I'm just blunt with it. And
no, it's all good.
You gotta hear the conversation me and Marco had. We sit around here and chastise rappers all day. Like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah, I know, nah, I sit over here, like, a lot of mainstream artists. I'd be like, my nigga, like, what were you going through when you talked about this topic? I don't understand. But I don't know. Like, I just know how I am with stuff, and I'm just trying to get better because I noticed that some of the songs that I do, whatever, I feel like I'm not being as put, showing everybody how creative I really can be. I feel like I've been trying to just play to the public too much and what kind of what they want to hear. And right now I've learned that I'm about to sit over here and do shit for me. And if the public don't like me, then don't fuck with me. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So the Kanye approach, I call it. So.
Yeah.
I have a question. Speaking of, you know, topics and mainstream artists and everything we just spoke about, what did you think about, how, first, have you seen Lil Wayne's cypher he just dropped?
No, I have not, but I heard some people talk about it. I haven't. You're talking about the album, right?
No, not the album. He just, I think his mixtape, Sorry for the Wait, was hella dope, but, the fucking, he dropped a cypher video a couple days ago, like 2-3 days ago.
I did not see it. I have not seen it yet.
There's people with a lot of mixed reviews. There's people who absolutely love it.
I have to say something. Let me say something about Lil Wayne. And let me say this. I apologize to Lil Wayne for not mentioning him earlier if he had ever heard this. You know what I mean? That Lil Wayne was one of my biggest influences in hip hop because people don't understand this. When Hot Boys came out, that album, the Hot Boys, that album and Outkast in general, like that, those like Outkast, that group in general, like Andre 3000, Big Boy, like oh my God, I'd probably be starstruck like a motherfucker if I ever met them. Like, and I never like get like oh my God ever. You know what I'm saying? But like when Lil Wayne first came out, you know what I mean? He was not. He was dope because he had a squeaky-ass voice and he was rapping because he was a little boy. But when this motherfucker was able to sit over here and break away from what the motherfuckers were trying to tell him to do and start doing his own thing, he changed the game completely. And if, even so now, if you literally hear what he's saying in all of his stuff, like, he's saying some shit, but, you know what I mean? You know, if you're not, if people ain't, if you ain't marketing it right, people ain't trying to really fuck with you like that sometimes. But I fuck with Wayne.
What I'm about to do is I actually shared the cypher. I actually love the cypher video that he did, and I'm about to tag you in it just so you can check that out after the show. Or, but I have a question, and it's a fun question. You know, we've been pretty serious this interview, but now I just want to. I want some tea. I got my cup. I want to get it filled.
All right.
So I want to know, who are your top celebrity crushes?
Oh, that is the worst question in the world.
No, you gotta answer it.
It's so hard. That shit is so hard to answer.
We're pretending that it's Monday. So we're doing a hashtag MCMM.
Oh man, this I have to think about this topic. Let me just name some people off the top because I mean, celebrity for me is like if you're famous in general. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Okay. I can go with the old schools and the new school. Shout out to the Bear community in here. I would have to say, Jesus, I hate this goddamn question. All right. I'm gonna say. I mean, Kevin James. Kevin James is usually always in that. I'm gonna say. Big Ben Roethlisberger. Oh my God. Shit. Damn. I have. Oh shit. I gotta. I gotta. My. The other, this question is always so hard for me.
Marcus, what about you, Publicity? Who are some of your celebrity crushes besides Drake?
Oh, y'all. Drake sometime in ass. I filed for divorce like 2 weeks ago.
Damn.
Oh, damn, for real?
But no, some of my celebrity crushes. You already know. How the fuck can I remember his name? And Marco, I stay talking about him all the time.
So many.
Yeah, I do have a lot of crushes. I want them all. I love them all. How about that? I'm gonna try to fill the entire male population.
Oh damn, crazy. That's just crazy. Okay, Kevin James is always will be in it just because he's funny. He's just cool in general. Ben Roethlisberger, quarterback for the Steelers. That's who that is for the people who don't know. The giant from Game of Thrones. And after the Empire, I haven't been able to really watch it, but Taraji P. Henson could get it. And who else am I really into right now? Here's this mixed motherfucker. Who the fuck is this? I have no idea. That's such a hard-ass question. I usually have my top five. Shoot, I have no idea. Like, it depends on what day it is. I mean, I got a, like, collage of motherfuckers that's, like, my swag.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? God damn it. Who else is it? I don't know. I have no idea.
You know who was hella cute is the movie Into the Woods, The Baker. He was hella cute, that British guy who's, like, chubby.
I have not seen that movie yet.
Yeah.
God damn. I really have no idea. That question is always crazy hard for me. Always. Like, because my crush is this motherfucker, these weightlifters and shit. But it's weird. I don't know. God damn it. I have no idea who my crushes are.
I just remember. Who Marcus loves is Triple H, the wrestler Triple H.
That's not big.
That was a random. That's,
y'all funny,
when
man.
I found out though, that was like such a random thing. He was like, "Oh, I love Triple H. She's so hot." I was like, "Really? Okay."
Man, listen, me and Triple H got history. That was my high school sweetheart.
Oh damn, for real? That's how you got
my
it.
Biggest,
that's how you.
My biggest celebrity crush though, y'all, is Rodman Dunbar. I love that man with every
ounce
of my soul.
Yes. Yep.
Who?
Rodman Dunbar. Oh my god.
I have no idea.
I get so weak in my knee. You ever seen a movie, Family of the Praise?
Oh, for real? That's who you on? That's mad
of
funny.
Course. Have you ever seen a movie, Family of the Praise, though?
Yeah.
He's the one who backhanded Sanaa Lathan over that counter.
Oh, I know.
When she was like.
That's soul food.
She
I
was,
got you.
Yeah.
That's serious soul food, yeah. Yeah,
that's my baby right there. He was also in Noah's Ark. He was in the movie Punks. Love that man.
Okay. And depending on how he looked at it, if he beefy or not, sometimes, I don't know, like maybe Russell Crowe could get it someday. I don't know.
Russell Crowe has to be like beefy Russell Crowe. It can't be like
he can't be
skinny.
Thin.
Yeah.
I don't know, but now I'm just like a lot of the people that I end up really liking, they're not even necessarily famous. I see them on the offensive line or somewhere else.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You know, yeah. I mean, it just depends.
Well, you know, we're modest guys, so that's cool. We're modest.
I'm mad chill with it. I'm my own celebrity crush, goddamn. I look in the mirror, I'm going to be a fucking celebrity. I got a crush on my damn self.
Yes, you know, I love it. Hashtag show it. Next time I get it. If I'm
yeah.
you, that's
you know,
my answer.
Our friend Mikey Servilian, shout out to Mikey.
Shout out to LeJon.
LeJon. I think his ultimate man crush is Wally Szczerbiak, another random man crush.
Wally,
but it's all good.
He's not random. He used to be an all star like once.
Didn't he get popped by Kevin Garnett too? Like they got into a physical fight like during practice or something.
That's why his ass got traded.
That's my cousin. Why y'all talking about him like that?
Who? Kevin?
Yeah.
KG, your cousin?
Yeah.
That's dope.
First cousin, second cousin, third cousin, or your play cousin?
It's my play cousin.
I'm just kidding. My mom used to babysit KG back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Triple X's. So right now on the spot, who are your top five dead or alive?
Top five dead or alive what?
Rappers.
Oh, top five dead or alive. In my opinion, for me.
For you.
For me, I'm going to say my favorites. Andre 3000, Twista. I had always been a fan of Twista. Are we talking about all time or right now? What are we talking about?
All time.
All time, period. Okay. Andre 3000, Tupac, Biggie, Jay-Z, and just because of my favorite, and it also had a big influence on me, is Luda.
Luda.
That's what's up.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Yeah, those are my top five, just like, of like, I guess, all time. Right now, that's completely different. Actually, I'm sorry. Let me scratch that. I got to put Kendrick in there. Shout out to Kendrick, because Kendrick is spitting some
real. Shout out to Kendrick.
Shout out to Kendrick Lamar, because he's putting out some real angry hip hop, like letting
that nigga
know what it is right now.
Yeah. I love to say that he kind of brought a tag music back, because I felt like hip hop was getting so weak. And y'all know me, I love aggressive music, man. And
yeah,
I feel like people
all day.
I feel like hip hop was becoming a little too politically correct. People were too afraid to touch certain issues or to come at a rapper. I'm like, but hip hop is a very competitive industry, and I feel like Kendrick Lamar definitely brought that element back to hip hop. So I definitely respect him.
I like Luda because like a lot of his style, because I can be real funny like him sometimes with how my cadence and stuff is, and I get a lot of influence on him. But
yeah,
if we're doing Dead Alive right now, Kendrick gotta be in there, because this album, it ain't for the weak hearted. You know what I mean? It ain't for the regular America. It ain't for all of America. You know what I'm saying? If you sensitive and you don't know the fuck you're talking about, I don't even want to hear nobody's opinion on that shit. Because three songs on that album, let me say this, four songs on that album can sit over here, can express how I feel on a regular, or it's expressive for any minority in here, no matter you be black, Latino, Portuguese, Honduran, whatever, you know what I'm saying, all of that. And for minorities in general, you know what I mean, and people who can relate with that, like Complexion, Zulu Love, Black of the Berry, Mortal Man, and I, the album version of I, those four songs right there, crazy. Some of the best songs, like you can put them in some of the best, like, best songs of all time already. In my opinion.
Nice. Yeah. Marcus, what about you? Who's your top five dead or alive?
My top five dead or alive consists of these people. I've asked this question so many times, so I don't have to think about it. But it's Eminem, Tupac, Angel Hayes, Hobson, and my number five spot is interchangeable. It depends on who I'm listening to at the moment. And right
if we're talking about right now, my right now is on I can name my top five right off the bat, of all time. I'm also going with respecting those artists and you know what I mean. If I'm going about right now, what I'm listening to, you can scratch that list that I just gave.
Okay, so then redo it.
If I'm doing right now and my rappers right now and top five on what's really popping right now, not even popping, but who I'm fucking with is Kendrick Lamar, Chance the Rapper, Gambino, Charlie Gambino, Kanye, and I'm actually fucking with Timbaland's new artist, this girl named Tink. She this girl is bad, bro. And she gonna bring some heat for that ass coming out right now.
So I know so funny who Publicity's number five was. He was about to say Iggy Azalea.
Just kill yourself. Me and Iggy Azalea got beef.
Yo, I can't be the thing about it, I hate the people get on Iggy, but she do it to herself too. But she from New Zealand with a Miami swag or wherever the fuck she's from. And she pretty, you know what I mean? But, the thing about it is, I feel like she got hip-hop because she pretty, and somebody plumped that ass up. And she was I'm not going to say she was sucking the right dicks, but, as a figure of speech, saying she's sucking the right dicks. She got in with the right crowd, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And she made it, you know what I'm saying? She has somewhat of some talent. I ain't gonna say motherfuckers right for her, but it is what it is. I feel like she's doing her own thing, but same time she ain't as live as these other artists that's out here.
Here's my thing with Iggy Azalea. This is the only issue that I have. It's not really with Iggy Azalea, it's with society.
There you go. It's perfect.
I'm very sensitive about this subject. But it's this. It's there's so many female rappers out there right now in the industry who are light years ahead of everyone. A newcomer to the rap game who has made it to my top five of all time, and she's only put out one album, and her name is Angel Hayes.
Hold up. Angel Hayes, let me say this about Angel, because when you said her, I was like, really, Angel Hayes? And she is dope. I'm gonna fuck with this. Angel Hayes is live. She dope, Lonnie. She dope. But, Tink, this girl Tink, man, because I told you, for me, R&B is my influence. Tink, this girl Tink, she can sing. Her freestyle game is crazy. You know what I'm saying? And she gonna bring some shit. If you miss this girl is she it. Angel Hayes is live too, and she raps with it. One of my favorite songs of all time features Angel Hayes, and it was a remix. It was a cover that they did Get High for This with Ellie Goulding and Angel Hayes. That shit was hella dope.
Yeah,
that's one of my favorite songs of all time. I can play that song over and over again. Listen to Blunt and get lost in that shit. So shout out to
Shout out to the Blunt.
Well, originally made me fall in love with Angel Hayes because my favorite rapper of all time is Eminem. And I've done a bunch of Jackets of Beats tapes, Jackets of Beats songs, and I never, ever, ever redone an Eminem song because I feel like these some big ass shoes to fill. You know what I'm saying? If you're going to jump on that M song, you're going to have to go hella hard. And I have heard so many other rappers try to redo M songs and try to recreate the magic that he puts on his beats. And there's only been one rapper who I've ever heard to redo that, and that was Hayes and Clean Out My Closet. That was the first song I ever heard from her. The first time I heard of her was on the XXL freshman list, the freshman cipher. I immediately Googled her. I seen the cipher, Googled her, found Clean Out My Closet, listened to it, and it was history. I'm like, wow.
Yeah,
there's only been Like, there's only been a few rappers. There's only been a few rappers that was able to actually bring, like, genuine tears to my eyes. And her song, Black Dahlia, is one of them. It was just so full of emotion. It was so raw and so real. And I was like, she's in that top five, and she's only put out one album. But talking about the Iggy Azalea thing, the reason why I brought up Haze is because there's so many black female MCs that are light years ahead of her lyrically. That fucking Dirty Gold album from Angel Haze should have been nominated for so many fucking Grammys, but she wasn't even acknowledged.
Let me say this. Let me say this, though. Y'all also understand, so fuck the Grammys. That's what you need to say, first of all. Because the Grammys is so complex. It's not just about lyricism. You know what I'm saying? It's about production and beat choice and all of that type of shit. It's not just lyricism. If we talking about lyricism, there's a lot of motherfuckers that should have been at the Grammys. You know what I'm saying? And the thing about it is that, like you said with Iggy Azalea, it's not with Iggy Azalea, it's society that's the problem. You know what I'm saying? And what they deem is great. First of all, she a pretty ass. I don't care what nobody say. You got a fine ass white girl that's rapping with a fat ass. Where the fuck do you see that at? Where you hear that? Where you hear that at? That's damn near an oxymoron. It sounds like, you know what I mean? But it's like that's not regular. You know what I mean? That's not regular at all. And there's other white girl rappers out there. I mean, you got Krayshawn, and you got Raven Felix that's out in Cali too. You know what I mean? And these two girls are on some shit. Raven Felix ass is a fucking monster. I don't even think Raven Felix. She might be Mexican. I don't even know if she white or whatever. But she look white shit. If you look white, you white shit in America. But anyway, my bad. but it's other girls is way doper than her. But the thing about it is that society likes her, and somebody marketed her ass right, and they kept it moving. So
yeah, and they made probably millions off of her.
You're damn right. But let me tell you this though, she made millions off of her. But this bitch ain't gonna be in the game that long. She's gonna be here and she's gonna be gone.
That's true. Yeah, but you know what? Bottom line is the music industry is a business. So if there's an opportunity to make money off of somebody, you know, like Iggy, like she's a gimmick, so make as much money as you can. She should do that, and whoever's fucking with her, I mean, that's what they're doing as well. Like, bottom line, it is a business, and you should try to make as much money as you can. And it's shitty, it is, but, I mean, that's just the reality of the world today.
Yeah, that's a real talk, though.
Yeah. So we are a podcast about RuPaul's Drag Race, and we like to keep it real. So us just a few of your favorite drag queens, besides me and besides Publicity.
Oh, my God. I forgot that this is about Drag Race. Like I said, I'm not that... I'm usually not that dude, but who can deny that, I mean, Drag Race is just fucking great in general. I don't give a fuck if you're straight, gay, whatever. That shit is more than just comedy, and I feel like it's educational because I never thought, because I used to hate drag queens in general. I used to, like, literally want to fight them, but then I had to be the person to be like, you can't judge that person. I'm not even going to front, I used to date somebody, I did it once, but clearly that shit didn't last. But my favorites for the show, Ginger Minj, I like her a lot. I liked her before the show with Jasmine Masters, but her ass just left. You know what I mean? Who else do I like on the show?
I love Miss Max. I think Max is so fierce. I love that.
And I like Katya.
She's tight.
Katya is cool too. Miss Max is like she reminds me a lot of a little bit of like of Sharon Needles a little bit as far as how pale that bitch is. That's my time. That's as far as that goes with that.
So Publicity. Yeah, shout out to Drag Race. Publicity, are you ready to play our game tonight?
Yes.
Y'all.
Oh God, what's this game?
We have a game we call it Turn Off or On.
Okay.
So we'll just throw out words, phrases, sayings, and you tell us turn off or turn on.
All right. Okay, let's go.
So I'll start it off. Turn off or on feet.
Off.
Wait, Marcus.
Yeah, off.
Anyone who's close to me, they know for some reason I have a very irrational fear of feet. I have like the biggest foot phobia. Like seriously, people put their feet on me and I freak the fuck out. Like if someone sleeps in the bed with me, they have to sleep with socks on. I can't stand it. It makes my balls itch. I can't stand it.
I kind of like feet. Like I like getting foot massages. I'll give them too. So I'll say on.
Let me get back on that one more time just to bring it back. When you saying turn off, I mean, if I'm saying looking at feet in general, I mean, it ain't something that I ain't about to sit over here and turn me up. But if you suck my damn toes, that shit will turn on. Let me just say that real quick. Suck my toes. Right, shout out to all them toe suckers out there. I'm just saying, get your toes licked and then see what Galloway. Get your feet sucked on and then see how you feel. That's all I'm saying.
Come on, Marcus, hop on the growler tonight and get one of those freaky dove-in toe suckers to come through.
Fuck no, don't touch my feet.
I mean, you got some busted ass feet, Ian Galloway.
My feet is not busted. Don't trip. I would not see. One thing I will do is I will go and let the little Asian ladies play with my feet and scrub them and get them things clean and nice and pretty.
Well, that's cute.
My feet ain't busted.
But you ain't gonna have somebody have their tongue run through the motherfuckers though. Try that.
You know what I have? I experienced that back when I was in high school. Back when I was like 16. Haven't had to do that since because it didn't drive me crazy.
All right.
And the next one is, the next turn on or turn off is, I think I know what this is going to be, because you said you used to hate them, but turn on or turn off drag queens.
But what do you, turn on, okay, turn off.
Okay.
Turn off.
What about you, Margo?
I mean, if we're like this.
Turn off or on. Go ahead.
Well, as far as like what it depends on how you mean is turn off or turn off for me. Turn off as far as like me trying to like holler at one, turn off. Turn on for like them representing in their artistry is a turn on. So standard,
yeah.
I'm on a scale with that. You know what I mean? If you're a drag queen and you're doing it right, turn on. But if you bust this when you ain't doing that shit right,
like
turn off.
Magnolia Crawford.
Magnolia Crawford. She's going to read this. She's going to get it here.
I don't know what that is, but...
She was from last season. She was tragic.
Clearly, she was not a memorable.
Okay. Turn off or on public sex?
On.
Turn
all the way on.
I agree with him. That's a turn on, yo. For anybody, I can walk up and catch somebody having public sex, and it could be somebody that's not attractive. It could be like fucking, I don't know, two very unattractive people having sex, but I can guarantee you, I'm gonna watch it.
Yeah, watching. Yeah, me feel like this turn on. I'm definitely watching the show. I'm like, hey, it's what it is. I'm definitely gonna look. How you not gonna look? But I mean, like,
yeah.
Definitely me. But turn on as far as if I say if I'm in the club or something and it's just that type of night and it's supposed to be just happening or something and I'm toe up or anything, oh, I don't give a fuck. Let's go ham. You know what I mean? I meet you in the bathroom. You hear me? Good.
That's what's up. We're learning some things tonight. Our teacup is definitely getting full.
Okay.
Yes. The next one is... Oh,
gosh. Since you live in New York, we came up with this, like, New York-specific question.
Yeah, okay. New York-specific. We're thinking about the magical time of Christmas and winter in New York. So turn on or off snowballing.
Oh, my God. I wasn't ready for that at all.
First of all, I am a gentle soul, okay? Oh, my God. Turn off. I'm going to say turn off. Mm-mm. Nah. I'm a freak, but I ain't feel like that. Nah.
Okay. Let me tell you. For me, that is turn off also. I don't want to get into details why I don't like it, but
yeah,
I just don't like it.
Next question.
Well, okay, the next one's not that much better, but go ahead.
Turn off or on truffle butter.
Oh, fuck, God. Oh.
Yo, you should already know. Like, hell no. Turn off, buddy. Fuck that.
That's
shit. No.
Turn completely off.
Turn off. Like, power outage at the main plant, the closest one, turn off. God damn it. For real.
Okay, go ahead.
Turn off on you, of course. The next one, hold on, let me take out my earrings for this one because, you know, you already know it's not final yet, even though I filed for it. My divorce, that is, speaking of. But turn on or turn off Drake?
I think Drake look like he missing a chromosome sometimes. So I think it's a turn off. Turn off musical-wise, turn on. Him in general, turn off.
You know what's so weird? Because I'm not really that physically attracted to Drake, but it's just something about his persona, his music. It just made me love
sensitive.
Him.
Because he's sensitive, and
yeah.
He probably gay than a motherfucker. He likes getting his booty licked, trust.
Oh, yeah,
I
remember the stripper.
Licked, yeah.
I remember the stripper. Remember the stripper who went to Instagram and, like, put him on blast, saying she had slept with him, and she ate his booty and shit?
Yeah, yeah. The boy that light-skinned. Yeah, he liking his booty licked. Come on, now.
Yeah, you like to get rimmed. They roll rim jobs.
Yeah, he be on it. So, yeah, he be on it all the time.
Turn off or on bears.
All the way on. Where's goddamn it, turn on 100%. If it was molded, go up, turn on.
Love it. You already
turn
know that
on.
For me. You already know answer to me. Turn on.
I'm there with
you,
so.
We should be able to skip this next one because it just there is a turn on. 9 times out of 10,
no,
the next
one's
turn
on.
I think
we should still address it.
Okay. Twinks.
It depends. I'm just gonna say turn on.
There you go.
It depends. All
right.
Because some days, shit, I look at Adam Levine some days and be like, boy, you can get it.
Yeah.
And that's a little motherfucker.
Yeah.
Like you said, I feel like generally it's a turn off, but there are some exceptions.
Yeah, there are always some exceptions. But generally, this will be a turn off. But I'm going to say turn on. I'm going to be like a turn on. Like, a turn on as in, like, if we're going from 100 to, I mean, 0 to 100. But the turn on is like since we got to round up, you know what I'm saying? It's like a 59%, you know what I'm saying? It ain't 100, it's like 59, so we got to round up. So that's just how I feel about that. So yeah,
that's what's up. Turn on, tongue out, legs spread like Jordan. turn off or on septum piercings.
Septum.
Yeah, you know, the nose piercings,
On. If you rocking that shit right, oh, God, yeah. Yes.
Hey, yes, sir, of course. Yes.
All
day. It's a turn-on for me. I make an announcement. I just want to get myself in the pierce yesterday. Rocking that shit.
Congrats.
Ooh. What about you, Marco?
I will say it's a turn-on. Actually, it depends on the person, but I'll just say, you know what, I'll say turn on. That's cool.
I'll say this, though. I'll say this with me. I couldn't get that shit done because for some reason I got, like, a lot of booger buildup right now. And a motherfucker like me like to pick his nose. I like to pick my nose, so fuck all that. But if you got one, I'm into it. You know what I'm saying? So, whatever.
That's what's up. All right. So I'd like to thank you for taking the time out and being on our show. After we play your song, Big Girl Workout, if you'd like to stick around and talk about last night's episode, that's great. But, you know, we understand that you might have some other things to do. But, you know, you could stay and kiki with us and throw a little shade at the looks from last night.
I got a lot to do tonight, but I'm definitely appreciate everything. You know, I wouldn't mind calling in again sometime.
Absolutely. Once you drop that mixtape, one of the three, call back in.
I definitely will. I'm gonna do that, and I enjoy what's going on. But let me get
before
that girl workout.
Before you end things, let our listeners know how they can find you on social media.
Be real with y'all. If you can follow me on social media, you can hit me up on SoundCloud. On SoundCloud, from Texas 3XS, and you can also hit me up on Facebook. You know what I mean? I'm a fan. I like my fan page, Texas 3XS, and it's TEXXXAS 3XS. You know what I mean? So yeah.
Yep. Well, thanks again, Texas 3X's, and we're going to be waiting for your three mixtapes and more music and great things from you. We expect big things out of you.
All right. Thanks, man. I appreciate it.
All good. So,
all right.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Have a great night. Dream of publicity.
Yeah, shout-out publicity. Shout-out my boy Marco. Shout-out Will Sheridan. And even shout-out to my boy Big Dipper. And them, because they up there in Austin right now, South by Southwest, holding it down, and I'll be there next year. So,
all right, and I'll see you in Chicago, Steven.
Oh yes, sir.
Yep. All right, so here we go. This is Big Girl Workout.
Workout.
Texas 3X's, look them up on Facebook and SoundCloud. Publicity, are you still there?
Of course.
Are you still queer?
No, I'm heterosexual for now, for the rest of my life.
Okay, well then let's talk about Drag Race.
All right.
So what did you think about last night's episode?
Oh, girl, last night's episode was good to me. I feel like this is the best episode of the season so far. I loved it.
Out of the three episodes, this was the best.
Yeah, out of three episodes, this is the best one. Way better than the first and second one. I love that I got my life. I'm the Royals.
So let's talk about the mini challenge.
Mm-hmm.
The mini challenge, they had to dress up as old women. They had to channel their inner golden girl. And who were you gagging over? Because I knew once I saw Max, I knew she was going to win. And I was kind of surprised that Kennedy Davenport was the second winner of the mini challenge.
You know why she won? Why Kennedy Davenport was the second winner? There is a clip that floated around the internet right when they had released like the first trailer of her full fucking little skit that she did. Kennedy Davenport came out of that bitch and twerked the house down as that granny. But they cut it out for the episode because I remember seeing that clip. And I was like, okay, I don't know who she is or why she's twerking. And then when the mini challenge came up, I was like, oh, this one, she did it. And then when I watched it, I'm like, oh, they cut it out. Miss Thing twerked the house down. And that's why she won, but they cut it out. Because watching the episode, you'll be a little confused. But I'm going to see if I can try to find that clip on YouTube or something. I'm going to post it on my wall so all the girls can go watch it.
All you listeners, go to Publicity's page and gag over the twerking. So the main challenge was they were split up into two groups to perform Shakespeare plays. And the winning team was Team Max, and they were performing. They actually just had a better performance. And they were performing Romy and Juliet, and Team Kennedy Davenport, they were performing Mac Bitch. And I was so surprised. I agree with RuPaul. You go on the show, you need to definitely know how to sew. Your look definitely cannot be busted. And you need to fucking realize you're going to have performances where you're going to need to memorize lines and work together as a team.
True.
So when I saw the girls struggling on Team Kennedy, her look was awful. She had like black makeup on, blush. It was like black blush on her cheeks. You could see her hair, her real hair under her wig, which is like a complete no-no. That really stood out. Jasmine Masters was like Queen Struggle of this episode. Her look for the challenge was great. I love the box braids. But to not know your lines and not know your cues and work with your teammates, that is like unforgivable. And I will say this about Violet Chachki. When she went and said, should we perform together as a team? And Kennedy looked at her and goes, no. I was like, oh, this has train wreck written all over it.
You know what? Let me read for a second. Because Jasmine Masters, my name is Publicity, and I have something to say. I'm going to have to clock you, girl, because when Jasmine came in here with such a strong personality, she chastised so many other girls for things they couldn't do. Like when she attacked Miss Fang saying, oh, you're not that strong of a performer. Not saying that Miss Fang can't perform. We were just saying that, oh, I don't perform as much. Not saying that she can't, but that pissed me off. I'm like, well, Jasmine, you can perform and you can lip sync, but that's the only thing that you have in your arsenal. You can't sew. They caught you, on the first and second episode for you not knowing how to sew. Then, girl, when you get into these challenges, and simple-ass challenges as that, when you just had to memorize, three lines, girl, and you screwed that up? Like, what else can you do besides lip-sync and perform, honey? This is RuPaul's Drag Race. Lip-sync and performing is the only thing that's good for is to save you from going home. And clearly, your performance isn't that good because it wasn't good enough to save you from going home. That just pissed me off because when Jasmine Masters came into that workroom and she was clocking Miss Fame for what Miss Fame couldn't do, I'm thinking, well, Jasmine must have some things in her arsenal. Miss Thing must know how to act. Miss Thing must can sing. What can Miss Thing do? Come to find out she can't do anything. And that really pissed me off the way she came from Miss Fame. And you can't do much more either, girl.
Yeah, that came across as very hypocritical and stupid. And for being, you know, an elder queen, as she said, you know, she's 37 years old. How are you going to act the way you did on the challenge and then clock these girls about, oh, they're young, they don't know better? It's like, girl, well, you're older and you don't know better.
Exactly.
And I don't know, just to me, she was just too loud and bangy for my taste. And what really pissed me off, too, is on Untucked, when she goes, oh, if I have to go up against Kennedy, I'm just going to stand there and not perform. And it's like these girls had to, like, talk her into actually lip-syncing for her life. And it was like, damn, $100,000, like, no one's going to have to tell me, Marco, you need to really, like, perform or you're going to go home. Like, if I had to perform against you, publicity, like, no tea, no shade, we're best friends, but $100,000, it's like, I'm going to do what I can to make sure that I stay on that show and not just be like, oh, okay, well, I made it to episode 3, that's good enough for me. It's like, no, what's good enough for me is winning it.
Exactly, because let me tell you something. Whoever don't make it to the top 5, no one thinks about anymore. But, right, so and that was an issue too with her saying she's not gonna lip sync. Another issue that I have, this the third episode. Y'all ain't been there long. Your first time ever meeting Kennedy Davenport was when you walked into that workroom when you said, I've been a fan of hers for so long, I'm so happy to meet her. How the fuck did y'all become so close over a week and a half? Girl, did you want to throw away $100,000 for this girl?
Yeah, and you know what? It's like when you saw Team Max and their Rami and Juliet, you were like, okay, they practiced, they knew their lines, they worked well
mm-hmm.
together. And on Untucked, you heard Max say, I picked the women like with good energy and I knew who would be easy to work with. That was my strategy for this challenge. And it fucking worked. And Max ended up winning for the week. Like,
that's true too, she did.
And Team Kennedy, like, they got RuPaul so upset to where, like, RuPaul, she yelled at them, and she kind of, I don't know if she was really just mad, if she was trying to just light a fire under their ass or what, but, you know, to hear her say, I don't want to hear any goddamn excuses, be prepared, make it work, fucking make it happen, and it's just like, damn, you're on this show. You shouldn't fucking have to have RuPaul yell at you like that.
Of course not. And it's so funny because last episode of our podcast, I clocked it and said, I'm ready for Ru to have her Tyra Banks moment. And I believe we got that the very next episode.
We definitely did.
And it's sad. Them girls would be ashamed of themselves if they actually had to bring that up out of Ru, because no girl from any season has brought it up out of her. You girls would be ashamed of yourselves.
That was ridiculous. So I will say this, like, I'm not a huge fan of hers because I don't like her attitude, but her look in the challenge was really good, and her look on the main stage, I was kind of gagging over it. She looked almost exactly like Conchita Wurst.
You know what? I was gagging about every episode. I've gagged a little over Violet, even though I hated her.
Yeah.
But you know what? She's really starting to grow on me, especially when I watched Untucked. Like, I felt like she was one of the only girls in Untucked that kept it real.
She did, and she was keeping it real.
I'm really saying she's really starting to grow on me. I think I'm going to be fucking with her by the end of this season.
I did say she might be top 3. I did post that before the before we even did our first podcast.
You did.
So
you,
if she makes it to top 3, it's like, let's see what happens. I think if she does make it top 5 or top 3, she won't win because she's kind of a bitch. And, you know, it's like, never in the history of Drag Race has the bitch ever won. It could be. This season could be the first time. I don't know, but I don't see it happening.
Yeah, that's true. It may be. Or Miss Jada may pull through and surprise and be the first big girl to take the crown, which, you know, bitch, I'm rooting for my big girl.
Whose looks were you gagging over on the runway?
Violet turned it on the runway like she always does. Jaden, really, I have to say this. The looks on the runway this season is really giving me the life. Some of these girls are failing horribly in these challenges, but all these girls are coming on the runway polished all three episodes, except for the exceptions of a couple who's already gone.
But do you feel this season, like, a lot of the queens are like, okay, well, I could just get by if I just get through this challenge and then just do a sickening look on the runway? I mean, I kind of get that feeling
that
a little bit this season, or no? Is that just me? Am I just reaching?
No, you're not reaching. I'm going to tell you why you get that feeling. Because not yet have that main challenge evolved the runway. They were able to go and put on a gown they already had in the back room all three episodes. Before the one we get in the season, Rue was like, bitch, you're going to have to make a brand new gown with this inspiration for this runway. That's what's going to set these girls' runway looks apart. Because it's easy for me to pack a bag and bring all my best outfits in my closet and turn it out every time I have to put them on. But it's not
now,
easy
before
for me.
Our podcast, go ahead.
But I think it's not easy for me to create a look out the blue
now,
and turn it.
Before our podcast, True T, I messaged you and I said, I'm living for Jaden this episode. She was so fucking real to me. Like her little mini breakdown during the challenge. She was like, I don't know how to act. And she was just so vulnerable and insecure. And Michelle was like, you're a fucking drag queen. Of course you do. And then it kind of, you saw like the switch go off and she was like, oh yeah, that's true. But just that moment, it was so endearing, like to see Jaden like that, just so real. I was like, this is like that moment from her I was waiting for. And I kind of turned the corner on her. And, of course, I was living for Max during the mini-challenge. She won the mini-challenge. She won the main challenge. Her look on the runway was so fucking fierce. I loved it. The, like, the zigzag.
I think she had the best look.
Beard and the mustache. And
I think she had the best look.
Her energy is amazing. I loved Ginger's look. Trixie killed it, where she just looked like she was right out of the Bible with her beard. And her look, it was amazing. And it wasn't that Barbie Mattel clown look that she was saying. And in Untucked, she was like, you know, I wanted to give this look to show the judges that I'm not just like the Barbie doll clown drag queen. And Katya, when she walked out looking like Abraham Lincoln in drag, I was like,
Yeah, she slayed.
She did slay. She gave me life like no one that episode other than Max.
I feel
and
like
it wasn't
Katya
that Max just did anything like over the top. It's more just like everything about Max is awesome to me. So it's like everything she does, even if I say I like it and maybe I really don't, I'm just going to back it up and be like, yeah, she's amazing. I love everything about her.
Max's strategy with this beard was the best strategy ever because she executed the challenge, but she did it in a way that she didn't cover her entire face and she could still come out and give girl and glam, and she slayed.
Yes.
And I love her idea.
She, just like Sharon Needle, she gave the judges what they were looking for, and she still stayed true to her look, which, like, to win RuPaul's Drag Race, you need to figure out, how do I give the judges exactly what they want to see, but still stay true to my look as a drag queen and my genre of drag? And she did it. She did it this episode.
That's true. She slayed. Got to give her a props. Miss Dean did it.
She did it. And she deserved to win, in my humble opinion. Do we want to talk about which looks we were not thrilled with?
Yes, and it was really hard because all of the girls except for one, in my opinion, decent and pretty good. You know what I'm saying? There was only one that was horrible to me.
There were two that I was just not at all feeling, and I was just kind of like, can we make these queens go away, both of them?
And I can definitely.
So,
oh, wait a minute. There was two. Yes, guy. And I just remember who it was.
So you tell your two, and I'll tell my two.
I can guarantee you they're the same two, Kennedy Davenport and Jasmine Masters.
Ding, 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 ding. Kennedy dressed it. Kennedy Davenport. It's like she took hairs out of a comb and glued it to her face. It was such a struggle beard, and the dress and just her overall look. It was just like, if you're on RuPaul's Drag Race, how dare you come on with this kind of presentation and performance?
I'm done with Kennedy. I'm completely over her. I wasn't really on her team when the season started, but there's no way possible I would ever be on Kennedy's team after this episode. I've noticed something. The only thing that she has in her bag is pageantry. She's a pageant queen, of course, from Texas. But the girl cannot speak. She cannot act. She cannot listen.
She can't dance.
She's supposed to be an entertainer. And her lips, this is a whack-ass lip sync tonight. And I'm like, what the fuck? So I'm not impressed with her. I'm completely off her team. I feel like she's not going to be here very much longer, and I'll be happy to see her go. And it hurts me to say that about another black queen, because there's never that many black queens on RuPaul's Drag Race. But, girl, if you coming in here to represent the black community in RuPaul's Drag Race, they have to step it up.
You think Trinity K. Bonet would have came out there with that struggle look?
Fuck no. Hell no.
You think Tyra Sanchez would have come out with that busted ass look?
Fuck no.
You think Latrice Royale would have come out with that busted look?
You couldn't pay them girls to come out looking like that. Any of those girls.
But to make matters worse, just when you thought it couldn't get worse, Jasmine Masters came out with the most god-awful looking painted-on beard you have ever seen in your life. And all the judges clocked her for it. Sure, her dress, like, Mel B was like, okay, her dress is wonderful, like, I love it, but everything else is a no.
Like, I'm not even gonna lie, that gown that Jasmine wore out there was one of the best gowns that we've seen on Drag Race. But the rest of her look is one of the worst looks we've seen on Drag Race. And she was, I think she was kind of hoping that her gown was going to carry her. But of course, no, ma'am, no, ma'am.
And shout out to the guest judges, Mel B from The Spice Girls. She was Scary Spice. And Kat Dennings from Two Broke Girls. Kat Dennings was so cool. She was like, I am a super fan. Like, this is the best day of my life right now. And it's like, you know, it's so cool when you see fans of the show that are judges and you're kind of like, you know, you had no idea that celebrities like this are out there who are like, I want to do Drag Race so bad. Like, and that's an awesome feeling when you feel that kind of support from celebrities.
That's true. If or when I ever become a celebrity, I just want to put this out there. RuPaul, me and Marco will come do Drag Race for free.
For free, yes. We will.
With a frisbee.
With a frisbee. You know, and here, I just, Jasmine Masters, and then on Untucked, she had such a nasty, rotten attitude. I was ready for her to leave.
Her and Kennedy Davenport.
Both
Kennedy
of them.
Really,
they were just trying to just
up.
Start shit with everybody.
Really,
the lip sync song is one that I had never heard. It was I Was Gonna Cancel by Kylie Minogue. And it was just another bad Lip Sync for Your Life performance, in my opinion. To go back to Untucked really quick, sorry to interrupt.
No.
When I heard Jasmine say that if she had to lip sync against Kennedy Davenport, she was just gonna stand there and not even move her mouth, and the other girls had to talk her into performing against her, that's $100,000. You're not gonna have to talk me into doing what I signed a contract to do on the show. I'm gonna do whatever I can to make sure that I last another episode.
Exactly. Especially for the struggle queen that I've only known for a week and a half. I'm not going to give $100,000 for her. Fuck her.
Hashtag struggle queen. That's exactly this. That's what this episode should have been called. The struggle queens.
Girl, They were just so tragic. Miss Kennedy Davenport really, really irritated. What the fuck is her issue with Miss Thane? Why the fuck is she continuously attacking Miss Thane? Okay, I get why you attack Violet. Yeah, okay. But what the fuck? Miss Thane don't fuck with nobody. She's a very nice kid. But this bitch is continually coming for her. But it's so funny and ironic that I really honestly believe that Miss Thane is going to last longer in this competition than Miss Kennedy Davenport is. But Miss Thane, you are losing me, honey. I am ready to see this fabulous Thane that I found on YouTube before the season even started, honey. I'm ready for you to start taking some of these challenges.
But can we just pat me on the back, because I did say I don't think Jasmine Masters is going to last that long. I did say
The
very first podcast we were on. And to my surprise, not really, though, I was right. I just didn't see her lasting. And again, it's just one of those things where it's like they could have had so many other queens on the show and they would have done their fucking thing. Like Malay Balenciaga, Carne Asada, Lady Bear, all those queens would have killed it and given it their all. And then to have Jasmine Masters is just like, well, I already have my bags packed, so if I lose, whatever. It's like, girl, then why did you even show up and waste somebody else's spot?
That's true, too. That's true fucking too.
It was just a very frustrating episode. It's been a very frustrating season for me so far. I'm still not feeling that Drag Race magic that I'm so used to. But, you know, on the other side of that, it's only been three episodes this season.
True. And we kind of got a glimpse of it tonight. We've seen a couple girls really shine tonight. Like the entire Max team, like those girls all stood out and did their thing tonight.
Yep. I just even with the lip sync performance, I wouldn't have been surprised if Mother Ruth said, both of you go home. I'm not at all impressed.
Right. I love it.
I will say this, back to the looks on the runway. For once, I was kind of feeling Candy Ho's look.
Oh yeah, she did come out. She was cute
with her hairy box. Did you see that?
Yeah, that was cute.
That was a cute look. But you know, I will say this about episode 3: there was more right than there was wrong, as far as the main stage looks.
Yes, that is true. And you don't.
It was very easy. Yeah, it was very easy to say these two are the bottom two, even just based on their looks.
Mm-hmm. I'm so fucked up. The two girls who did the worst in the main challenge came out looking the worst on the stage. Girl, you guys are supposed to step it all the way up on that fucking runway.
All the way up.
The way y'all bombed in that challenge, bitch. You're supposed to come out on that runway and be the it girl.
So what are your predictions for next week's episode? Who's going to be in the bottom two?
I never watched a sneak peek. Can you give me a little bit of what the sneak peek entails?
I've already forgotten the sneak peek.
I haven't watched it yet.
Yeah, you know what? I'm going to go out on a limb and I'm going to say Candy Ho and Kennedy Davenport will be in the bottom, or it'll be Kennedy Davenport and Akasha, whatever the Akasha Davis.
Oh, I can really see Akasha being in the bottom, because she's not really doing horrible, but she's not stepping up either. She's like the best of the worst, basically. You get what I'm saying?
Yes, she is. Well, that just about does it for our podcast. Thanks again for listening. Thanks again for Texas Triple X's. Much love to all of our listeners, and give us feedback. Go to our Blog Talk Radio page, leave us feedback, look us up on Facebook, leave us feedback so we can be better individuals and come together as a group and be even better for you guys. And shout out to the community, the LGBTQ community. We love you guys.
Wow, love you.
Good night. Love you guys. Good night.
Bye.
Bye.